Zengeziwe, good evening and welcome.
Thank you so much, Ayabonga. Good evening to you too.
I hear you're out in Mthatha, I guess that's where a lot of the fanfare today was, but also one of the areas probably alongside the Eastern Cape province in general and many other rural provinces, hard hit by what I want us to talk about tonight, the spectre of youth underemployment and mass unemployment. Just maybe some of your own reflections on, I guess, the festivity and the pomp and ceremony of the day.
I am actually back in Johannesburg, but I was there earlier on today. And I think it was, there was a lot of pomp and ceremony. It was a great event. I think President in his speech touched on a lot of the critical issues in terms of the dire state of youth unemployment in South Africa. But I think he also touched on some of the work that is being done collectively. You know, Ayabonga, I had listened into a bit of your earlier caller, and I think one of the critical things that we're dealing with here is the fact that young people have been forced into a kind of resilience that has almost been celebrated. And I think we've all realized that now we're at a time in South Africa's history where we really are on the precipice. We need to deal with unemployment, and we need to do so at scale, you know?
You guys are at Harambe. That's your job, to try and deal with all of the governance and market failures that account for why young people are disproportionately more likely to be excluded from work or work opportunities in South Africa. You've been at it for more than a decade, and I must say I do recall in my other life interacting with some of the early work that Harambe did around 2014 or so. And even then, I think it became quite clear now, of course, the numbers look a lot worse now, but that a big part of this is structural rather than just frictional unemployment of young people. What have you learned in that period, nearly a decade now, or if not more?
It's been a decade, 11 years, in fact. And we have really spent the last 10 years trying to solve for youth unemployment, I think specifically by looking at the barriers, the structural things that keep young people out of the labor market. And in that time, what we've come to understand is that there are specific barriers that are, whether it's the increase or whether it was a few years ago, we're looking at the fact that young people are paying far, far, far too much for data. They're paying far, far too much to look for work in this day and age. And what we need to do is, and what we have been doing, is look systemically at the barriers that they face and see how do we begin to not just make a dent, but really start to deal with them at scale. And so I think a core part of it has been looking at these barriers, and we've identified a few, but just to touch on some of the core ones, I think it would be the high cost of transport. Ayabonga, it costs young people 1,300 rand on average a month to look for a job, right? So if that's just before you've even gotten to the interview itself, just in the looking phase of a job, it's just far too high of a cost. And these are people who are unemployed, right? So I think one thing is the high cost of transport that young of transport and looking for a job that young people face. I think another thing is about networks. I mean, quite simply, we've learned that a lot of the way in which the world works is who knows who and who's gotten who which job. And I think what we've been doing is saying, how do we level the playing field? And that's really why we established SA Youth, and which is SAYouth.mobi, which is really a platform where young people can get onto the system, and they can be on the system for as long as they want because it is zero rated, so they don't pay to be on the system. But importantly, it matches young people with opportunities that are close to where they are, so it's that we use geographical mapping so that we reduce those barriers. But it also gives them line of sight to the opportunities that exist. So if it's in your area, it's not about a connection. It's about applying in a fair, free, and transparent manner and really getting your best shot at getting that opportunity.
Zengeziwe, hold the line there for me for a second. We're going to take a quick spot break. But when we come back, I want us to talk about what you've made in that experience of how industry has received some of your work on the supply side, and whether or not that has translated into many people getting the opportunity to get into work and also being retained in work. Because, yeah, I know having been an intern at some stage in my life that, yeah, retention after that preparatory period is never assured. And joined tonight as we take a look at the challenges confronting young people, and certainly one that is not inconsequential is that of youth underemployment. And joined on the line by Zengeziwe Msimang tonight, Chief Engagement Officer out at Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator. And we're talking about youth unemployment. And Zengeziwe, maybe just I guess some of the experiences that you've had insofar as the reception that corporations and those in industry have received you with, and also government as well, which also runs similar programs, the Public Employment Service, National Pathway Management System. Just seems there's a lot on the go, and there's big questions of coordination, but also uptake on the part of different stakeholders who can really make an impact.
Great, Ayabonga, and I think that's a really important question, and it definitely did find expression in the president's speech today, because what has come to pass is that I think there's been a move more than ever in the past year or two, really seeing how do we tackle youth unemployment and do so united. The fact of the matter is Harambee can do all the work that we want to do, but if we don't partner with other people within civil society, within government, and importantly on the demand side, if we're not dealing with people within the big corporates that create jobs, then we really aren't going to be moving forward. So what has happened is that we've really found that within the corporate sector, there has been a willingness to employ young people, but it does take a lot of advocacy and a lot of really explaining that some of the barriers that young people face can be reduced by industry themselves. I mean, an example of this that we found is that a lot of organizations put together plans where they say, okay, we'll employ people, but these are the specific criteria. And those criteria are exclusionary. And so what we've been trying to do a lot with big corporations is to really advocate to say, can you lower the barriers that young people face in order to enter? For example, you might find that to work in a grocery store, you've got a young person who is required to have a matric certificate. And we know the challenges young people face. We know the challenges that still exist within the education sector. And it's also looking at employers and saying, is this really a qualification? It's excluding so many people. Is this a qualification that we really require? Or would it really be reducing a barrier to enable young people to have this job either way? And I think, Ayabonga, another important thing that we've been doing is seeing, and again, this is SA Youth, when you talk about the National Pathway Manager, it really is a system that is pulling together civil society. It is pulling together big corporates, and it's saying, make these jobs available to young people, and also make learning opportunities available, which is important. You know, before we went into the break, you had spoken about internships and the sustainability of them. And what we try and do on SA Youth is really keep young people engaged so that, yes, they get line of sight to the opportunity, they get the job, and that's wonderful. Now it's a 6-month stipend. What we would like to do is ensure that young people, after getting an opportunity, stay within the system and don't become one of the millions of young people who are not in education, not in employment, and not in training. And so we have a lot of content and we have a lot of partnerships that have enabled young people to pathway themselves and almost zigzag throughout their career journey so that they might have that 6 months stipend in program or internship, but then they're able to go back into SA Youth. We assist them to find other opportunities. We assist them to find different ways. Do you volunteer? How can we assist with your CV so that we keep young people engaged?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess maybe, just as we wrap up, you mentioned earlier on some of the work that you do geospatially maps where the opportunities are. One would think that just with the country we come from and where we are, that if you were to map where the geospatial need for work is and where a lot of the industry and the work opportunities are. Probably not a lot of overlap there.
Sorry, probably not a lot of?
Not a lot of overlap. So you're not finding a lot of the people in greatest need of work in the same places where that work can be found.
Which is why I think it's important that a big part of the work that we're trying to do is to ensure that we get opportunities at scale. And I think an example of this, which kind of highlights nicely a lot of what we've been doing, is the Department of Basic Education project that we worked on, where we were able to geographically, so the opportunity for young people was to work as teacher's assistants. And sure, there are 22,000 schools in which they were potentially employed in across the country. And so what we were able to do was look at what these opportunities were and matched young people on a national basis across the country. And I think, in fact, I'm sure it was 287,000 young people who were given those job opportunities across the country, 22,000 schools, and they were placed in 14 days. So again, it's the understanding that we need to be working at scale. And we need to be giving, if we're going to change the trajectory of unemployment, we need to do so in a manner where as many young people in as wide a geographical location are given employment. And the only way that's going to happen is if private sector, civil society, and organizations like ourselves come together to make those opportunities visible to young people nationally.
Zengaziwa, hold the line there for me for a second. We're going to take a quick breather. But when we come back, we'll play back some voice notes and just get some of your reflections on what many of our listeners are sharing with
us. The headlines on Metro FM Talk. Send your voice notes now. 079-191-4270.
Good evening to you, Ayabonga Tau. Square Kazamula Khoza from Pretoria, Soshanguve. I'm currently living with disability. I'm a visually impaired person. You know what, Ayabonga? During the speech of Ramaphosa today, he mentioned something quite fascinating regarding the YES program learnerships. The man was right. Ramaphosa is telling the truth. These learnerships are happening. I don't know whether if are happening in other provinces, but here in Gauteng, especially here in Pretoria, those learnerships are taking place. I'm a victim of that learnership. The YES programs are happening. We just need to shift our mindset from ANC, always ANC, always ANC. We need to, you know, put ourselves together and focus on a new clean slate.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, this issue of unemployment is really disheartening, you know. You know, for me, I had to stop looking for a job, you know, in my mid-late 20s. I'm 32 now, so you can tell that it hasn't been long. But, you know, I had to look at the community, you know, the surroundings in my community. I had to look what services can I offer in the community, you know, what type of skills are needed there, you know, in order to advance my community. And I had to learn some of them via the internet, you know, via Google, via YouTube. Yes, you know, I studied. I did go to tertiary, did degree, did a couple of certificates, but they're not really working out for me. So I had to, you know, reinvent myself and upskill myself in a different type of way. Look, I'm glad that I was able to get myself out of that difficult situation. And but it's still not easy, you know. It's an ongoing fight, but yeah, I think eventually, you know, eventually we'll get there. You know, I think the youth needs to think of alternative ways,
sure,
in order to get themselves out of difficult situations.
Thank you very much for that, Silo. Zengaziwe, just your thoughts and reflections as we wrap up on those two thoughts they shared, you know, by Mr. Khoza and also Silo there at the end.
You know, I think what is really encouraging, and in the beginning of this interview, I started talking a little bit about resilience. And I think what your callers have touched on is the fact that young people need more help from us. They need more help from government. They need more help from civil society. And I think how we help them is looking at their resilience. I mean, your caller just said right now that he has been upskilling himself and that he has been looking at how does he go into his community and service it. And that's exactly what we mean when we say we need to look at the sectors where resilience exists and where young people have been able to flourish. And community services is one of those sectors. And we need to see how do we bolster those sectors? How do we invest in young people in those sectors? How do we promote micro entrepreneurship? You know, there's a lot of people who were able, young people who were able to survive the COVID-19 pandemic, and they were able to do so because they were hustling. Really, that is the resilience young people have. If it was young women braiding hair, or whether it was young men who became drivers, young people found a way to make micro enterprise sustainable for them. Now, what we have to do is go and find out how do we support that. Yes, there's SAYouth.mobi where young people can go on and get assistance, but I think there's also a lot of work that needs to go into, which we're currently doing now, in terms of not just identifying the sectors where resilience exists, like the global business services sector, for example, but also taking away the red tape. You know, what does it take for a young person to even start a business? How do we support young people with marketing services? How do we make sure that young people like your caller are not out there, almost outside of the system, trying by themselves, but getting the support that they need?
Yeah. Zengaziwe, thank you very much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it, and all of the best. Long may the work continue to make impact. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ayabong, and have a great evening.
You too. Zengaziwe Msimang, the Chief Engagement Officer at the Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator, joining us for our headline segment tonight. And yeah, we'll continue to take your voice notes.